Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's oak wilt? Let's go in-depth with Tevon Feely with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Tevon, what do you do?
I am the Iowa DNR Forest Health Program Leader. So anything that's disease, insect, non-native invasive plants in our forest, that's what I monitor and try to help control in the state.
Well, we don't have a lot of forest, do we?
Only 3.1 million acres, but hopefully we can add to that.
I said that with the mindset that I was this highly cultivated, you know, maybe the most intensely cultivated bit of land in the world, but down here in southern Iowa, we've got a lot of woodlands.
Yeah, you know, in the eastern third of the state, there's still plenty of woodlands and beautiful woodlands. And, you know, I think there's a stereotype that if you don't have a lot of it, it's not very good, but really that makes it more precious, something more kind of like diamonds, something that you want to protect.
Well, that's a great way to think about it. So you have to travel a lot, or you're based out of Des Moines, I presume?
I am.
And then do you travel a lot? What's your day like?
I travel quite a bit. I cover the whole state, so I travel a lot looking at trees and parks and communities and advising and different disease and insect problems and what needs to be done to help utility companies. But I serve on a lot of national boards, so like the National Gypsy Moth Board I'm on. We do a lot to prevent that from coming into Iowa right now. Walnut twig beetle with the wood industry, we trap that quite a bit to make sure it doesn't get here. So there's not a normal day for me. If something pops up, I'm looking at the particular disease or insect. You know, with the derecho, we were flying the state to see how much we lost in terms of our urban and rural forest canopy. And we were tracking the oak wilt outbreaks.
Is the oak wilt one of the major issues that we need to concern ourselves with?
Originally, I didn't think so, because we were kind of outside that oak wilt window. But we did have some help from the state of Maryland. They came in with one of their pilots to help survey. And they recorded a few pockets of oak wilt that I had not seen yet. So this spring, I want to get there to confirm that, one, it is actually oak wilt. And if it is, then come up with some management plans to keep it from spreading. It seems a little bit unlikely to me because it was so late in the season, but our seasons really have changed over the last few years, so it's possible.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about oak wilt with Tevon Feely with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. So we're not really sure yet if we have oak wilt, or do we?
We do in the state. I don't know if we have new plots like they after the derecho, like we may or may not have. I have to test those.
I see. And so this is something you see from the air? It's so extensive?
Yeah.
Wow. What is oak wilt? I guess I better start there.
Well, oak wilt is a fungus. It's caused by a fungus of Ceratocystis, and it moves underneath the grounds through roots that are grafted together from an infected tree to a healthy tree. Above ground, to get into the tree, how it moves is usually through wounds. So if somebody goes out and prunes their tree, or if we have storm damage to a tree, a Nedodula beetle, commonly called a picnic bug in the state of Iowa, carries it above ground into the tree. And once it's in the tree, there's no cure for oak wilt. It is fatal.
Really? So the fungus just gobbles up the entire tree?
Kind of. So inside the tree, it looks like a series of straws that connect the root system to the leaves, if you will. And the fungus just grows in there and blocks up the tree's ability to move that water up. And so the tree just starves to death, essentially. And so the fungus just plugs all of that tissue up, and then it will just keep moving through to the root system, out to the ends of the root, until it can find another one that's grafted together. Then it goes to the next healthy tree, and to the next one, until there's no more.
and grafted together. That's just the trees doing that naturally underground, their roots touching and coming together and sort of melding together.
Exactly. And the red oaks do that quite well between red oaks and white oaks between white oaks. But, you know, if you were to have a red oak next to white oak, they don't tend to graft very well together.
I see. So how do I know if my oak trees have oak wilt?
There isn't a great way to know by just looking. Typically, the first signs and symptoms you'll see is, you know, the upper canopy, the top of the tree, will look very thin and sparse, and you'll see copper bronze leaves, and they'll start kind of falling and raining down off that tree on the ground. And you'll notice, you know, a couple of dead branches up there, and it's moving pretty quickly, especially in the red oak group. And that's when you need an arborist or a tree service to come out and take a sample off that tree. And you would send it up to Iowa State University to the Plant Diagnostic Clinic, and they would run a test on it. And you would get that result if it's oak wilt or not. And if it comes back positive, like I said, then it's fatal for the tree. And that, then it comes down to removing that tree or coming up with a management plan to prevent it from going to nearby trees.
Okay, so it's not best for me to just sit back and let it die and infect other trees?
Well, it kind of depends. Typically not, if it's in an urban area especially, because the tree, it's like, let's say it's the only oak there, it's going to die and it's going to fall apart. And it always has targets, whether it be your house or a car or something nearby it could fall on. You know, if it's in the woodlands and it's the only oak around, it may not be a big deal. If you've got several oak trees there, you might want to get it down and out of there and kill that stump if you can to prevent it from moving from tree to tree to tree.
Okay, so, but there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can spray, nothing I can have injected into my oak tree or anything.
Well, the best thing to do is, let's say you had storm damage. We had that derecho come through last year. So we have storm damage this spring. Is to get somebody out there as quickly as possible to correct that storm damage, prune it, and then paint it. And here, when we talk about paints, we don't talk about those pruning paints that you buy at the garden stores that are creosote-based, but really what we want is a paint that's like a latex house paint, something that's not going to last a long time, just enough to cover the wounds so water can come out, but the fungus can't get in when the insect feeds.
Okay.
And then there's a little bit in literature that suggests that maybe injecting a healthy tree with propiconazole, which is a fungicide, could prevent the establishment of oak wilt. But I don't know about that. I've seen it in literature, and I've talked to the Forest Service Research Station on it, and they still recommend it. But I've got mixed reviews on that one yet.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about oak wilt with T. Von Feely with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Well, and some people, you know, if they've got oaks in their yard, ornamental oaks or whatever, that aren't too big, they're just starting an oak from, you know, a planting, they might be trimming. Is that an issue? Or pruning the oak, is that an issue?
Well, because, you know, this week is a prime example. We got a nice taste of spring this week. And, you know, the forecast is calling for, it looks like 50 degrees for maybe a week or two. So we're going to be warming up. That water and nutrients are going to start moving to the top of the tree. So you're going to get the nice sap flow. The buds are going to start to expand in a few weeks. Now's the time to finish that pruning in oaks and get away from that, you know, that bud growth and that bud break, so we don't have it during the growing season. You don't want that wound then when oak wilt can move in. So now's the time to finish that pruning. If you've got anything left, this is a great weekend to finish it. Next week, get it all done.
Okay. Now, I'm old enough to remember Dutch elm disease and how that devastated our forest, our timber. Do we have any? That was so sad. You're not old enough to remember that, but that was so sad when we lost all those elms. And I know that we have the emerald ash borer now. Do we have anything that's as big of a threat or anything else I'm not thinking of that we need to be concerned about, like Dutch elm disease?
something that's a pathogen that's as serious as Dutch elm disease on the horizon right now. You know, in the insect world, you named the one, emerald ash borer, is probably as close as what we have in Iowa. One that we do not have in Iowa that we watch out for is Asian longhorn beetle. The closest establishment of that is in Ohio. And that one has a federal quarantine on it, and they've been eradicating that population. And hopefully that'll be gone in the next few years. So with proper management, it can be eradicated. And that pest is a primary killer of maples. So that's something we want to get rid of if we can.
So a quarantine, how does that work?
It depends on each pest. So, you know, for Asian longhorn beetle, what they do is they go out a certain distance and they take down so many maple and other hosts that it will be on. And then they might go out another certain distance and inject those trees to prevent it from establishing. Every quarantine is a little bit different. I think the big thing is, you know, as you travel around the spring, summer, and fall, you know, try to buy your firewood locally and burn it locally. You know, keep your pests, if they're there, on that site. Don't spread them around the state or into other states.
Because that's how it's spread. It's not like the trees go walking anywhere. It's spread through firewood mainly?
Yeah, firewood is one of the mechanisms. It's usually by human movement. So if we can leave our firewood where we bought it, that will be one of the ways to help prevent the spread.
Like maybe just leave it for the next camper if you need to.
Exactly. And buy what you need locally from a local vendor, burn it there, and then next site you go to, buy some from a local vendor, support that local economy, and burn it there.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, you've got a pretty cool job. You can just go out and wander in the woods and just say you're working.
I wish it were that easy. I'm hoping to get out to the woods a little bit more often this summer, so...
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of responsibilities. You were just telling me as we were sitting down to get ready, you were advising the legislature this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there's always questions that come up on different topics. And so any pest that comes up, they may have questions about, or any rule that comes up, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. So in terms of like firewood rules that are coming up or anything else, we still have a firewood label law that's out there. So if you have firewood and you're selling it or moving it, you need to have a label out there. Anything like that, I'm there for information for them, the public. That's what I'm here for.
Well, as we close, do you have any advice for anybody that might have a stand to timber, or just for those of us that have a few trees in our yards? Any advice?
Well, I think one of the big pieces of advice for 2021 is it looks like we're going to be a little bit in a nursery shortage this year. So if you're planning on planting trees, you might want to get out and talk to your local nursery and get something reserved and ordered already. It might be short on a few species. So if you have one in mind, you might want to talk to your local person and get it reserved.
Thanks to T. Vaughn Feely for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.